Trend number five, the emerging era of global entrepreneurship. There's an old saying that when the going gets tough, the tough get going. This aphorism can be seen at work in the global response to the current economic crisis. Entrepreneurs are coming out of the woodwork, initiating gales of creative destruction that will be felt for years, if not decades, to come. For example, The Wall Street Journal recently reported that microlenders in the developing world did more business in 2008 than in the last 15 years combined, providing seed money for all sorts of small businesses. The Economist recently published a special series on entrepreneurship that highlighted the rise of entrepreneurship almost everywhere. The report shows how entrepreneurship has gone mainstream, supported by governments of every kind, by political leaders from right and left. Entrepreneurs are being encouraged by a burgeoning complex of venture capitalists, universities, and advocacy groups. Why are entrepreneurs so vital to 21st century economies? They innovate. They bring to light viable solutions to problems that went unrecognized before their solution came on the scene. Before the personal computer, for example, most people in the field of computing couldn't even imagine what an ordinary individual would do with one. Entrepreneurial businesses can be large or small, new or old. The common theme is that they deploy labor and capital in innovative ways. A startup that simply runs another corner convenience store isn't really entrepreneurial, because it doesn't represent any innovation. Google, though big and well-established, is still entrepreneurial, because it's involved in a constant stream of innovative products, services, and activities. Innovative entrepreneurs are important in an economy because they account for a large proportion of the jobs that are created, much more so than conventional businesses that simply expand quantitatively, not qualitatively. And history shows that entrepreneurs tend to thrive during economic downturns. Microsoft, Genentech, The Gap, and The Limited were businesses that began during recessions. Hewlett-Packard, Polaroid, Revlon, and Texas Instruments all opened their doors during the Great Depression. In fact, the advocacy group called Endeavor conducted a survey of entrepreneurs that showed that they expect their businesses to grow by a third and their workforce to increase by 12% this year, despite or even because of the economic downturn. Half thought that high national unemployment meant that they could hire better people, and 39% said that they would have less competition. Office space is cheap, and capital is set free from those enterprises that fail. In what seems like a paradox, history shows that the more uncertain things are, the better it is for entrepreneurs. And of course, this is precisely what Joseph Schumpeter meant by creative destruction. Today's information technology makes this even more true. It's easier and cheaper to start a business, and it's harder for established firms to stand against new competition. Beginning in 1960, two-thirds of the companies on the Fortune 500 stayed on that list for the next 20 years. Today, one-third of the companies on the list are removed after just 4 years. There are other differences in modern times. For example, big, mature companies can thrive long-term when integration and economies of scale create barriers to entry. But today, many larger companies are spinning off parts of their operations because flexibility has become much more important. This not only makes barriers lower, but opens up new opportunities for entrepreneurs to become outside suppliers to established enterprises. The importance of IT and telecom, where innovation is the key, also invites entrepreneurs. In addition, the shift from manufacturing to services has lowered the barriers to entry. And as new innovations solve new problems, much of the entrepreneurial growth will not be at the expense of established enterprises. Consider what happens when a cure is found for a disease. The cure represents new economic activity without destroying any existing business. That's why, as a rule, innovation and entrepreneurship help grow the overall size of an economy. So there's more to go around for everyone. Nevertheless, innovation does increase the rate at which companies arise and decline. It makes for a much more mobile workforce, and it forces policymakers to make sure they don't create policies that inadvertently inhibit growth and change. For example, in Europe, it's difficult to fire people. That makes it more difficult for entrepreneurs to start new ventures. And those who have jobs tend to be risk-averse when it comes to starting something new. Perhaps they'll be out of work permanently if they leave their current jobs and then fail. As Howard Stevenson at Harvard said, entrepreneurs typically take big risks for big rewards. The problem with high marginal tax rates is that they diminish the size of the reward the entrepreneur can expect to earn from taking the risk. Another problem is that high tax rates diminish the amount of capital that relatives, friends, and angel investors have available to invest in early-stage ventures. Other policies can stifle entrepreneurship as well. For example, new companies typically have to pay more for employees' health care, and the costs can be unreasonably high. Thus, a company is threatened at its most vulnerable stage of development. These and other policy considerations are particularly important for developing economies that don't have a heritage of entrepreneurship. Yet, it's precisely those countries that stand to benefit most from the global entrepreneurship revolution. Moreover, research has found that eliminating poverty is much easier in an entrepreneurial atmosphere. For this reason, many experts believe that foreign aid focused on handouts has actually been misappropriated. Instead of giving people infrastructure or food, we should be funding entrepreneurs in poor countries who can then innovate. Microcapital lenders and specially targeted venture capital firms could be the answer. The developed world would also be wise to work through international organizations to support government initiatives that enable and empower third world entrepreneurs. As recently highlighted in Knowledge at Wharton, smart policy initiatives can go a long way towards streamlining and optimizing this new culture. For example, in Asia, new businesses are launched at the rate of 1.6 per thousand people, while in the developed world, the figure is 64.2 per thousand people. This is directly related to cost. It's cheaper to start a company in a developed country. To illustrate, the World Bank Group Entrepreneurship Survey showed that simply creating an electronic registry for licensing new businesses raised the formation of companies well above the level seen in countries where registration was done only on paper. The web-based registry reduced the time it took to register a new company from 3 months to 10 minutes in some countries. Electronic registries have also been found to eliminate graft and corruption that are rife when there are middlemen in the process. And, according to the World Bank, red tape explains most of the difference. When Guatemala, Sri Lanka, and Jordan instituted electronic registries, they quickly enjoyed a 20% increase in the creation of new businesses. Given this trend, we offer the four forecasts that follow. First, entrepreneurship will be the long-term solution to the slow-growth future possibly facing the global economy. This is especially true in the United States, the premier capital of entrepreneurship in the world. Examples of how creative innovators are handling the world they face abound. In Detroit, for example, where the real estate market is in terrible shape, auctioneers are cleaning up and selling foreclosed homes. With bankruptcies up by 52%, the lawyers that handle those transactions are working around the clock. Companies that sell off the various divisions of bankrupt companies are likewise experiencing a boom. Second, if not proactively impeded, the traditional American tendency toward entrepreneurship will drive the recovery and make it happen much sooner here than elsewhere. The Ewing Marion Kauffman Foundation is a think tank that studies entrepreneurial activity. According to its reports, what they call entrepreneurial churning improves productivity and the overall economy. During the period between 1977 and 2005, 15% of all jobs in America disappeared as existing companies failed or downsized. But new businesses and innovative older companies that expanded to fill the vacuum added more jobs than the number that were lost. It was a net gain, and entrepreneurs created a third of those new jobs during that time. Third, analysts will look back on the current economic crisis and its immediate aftermath as a great opportunity for entrepreneurs. For the true entrepreneurs, bad times are actually the best time to launch a business. Some 538,000 businesses started up each month in the United States last year. Although more companies get their start in economic boom times, the number of firms that ultimately grow large is not influenced by bad or good times. In fact, companies started during recessions are more likely to succeed. Examples include Apple, Microsoft, and Krispy Kreme. Companies started in a recession have to be better because people are more selective about how they'll spend their money. It's easy to start a company in an atmosphere of prosperity and loose money. But during bad times, as we have said, the tough get going and they get results. And fourth, in the next 20 years, Asia will finally tap its entrepreneurial potential as it builds a strong economy that serves local needs as well as exporting to the West. China has grown rapidly by focusing on exports and central planning. But with India's tradition of free enterprise and its widespread use of English, that country is extraordinarily well positioned for the coming entrepreneurial transformation. To get a better idea of what lies ahead, the Trends editors suggest reading India's Century, The Age of Entrepreneurship in the World's Biggest Democracy, by Kamal Nath.